Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
When you have the pieces in place, when you have two great quarterbacks, a wonderful running back, the best tight end in football, not to mention Trent Williams next to him, you can't mess. When you have a Super Bowl concoction, you cannot mess with it.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a chance to get a Rafael Devers, you should say no. You don't want to mess with a locker room that's feeling good about itself. You know what? Fred Warner, we're fine. Tatum Bethune, in just two games, has already had more tackles in one game than Fred Warner has in his entire San Francisco 49ers career. You know what, Fred Warner? You're expendable.
I think he stinks.
I think he had a terrible year last year.
Cleveland Furl came right in, picked up a sack. Bosa, you know what? We don't need you anymore. These guys are ready to step up and step in. Obviously, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's yesterday, it's reality setting in that this defense is just not good enough. Like, without Warner, without Bosa, as much as they might be able to, you know, scheme good games together, I think that people are just, maybe they looked at the deadline as like a last gasp to get some sort of real talent in here, because I don't believe anybody thinks that, well, maybe some do. I don't believe that this defense is going to hold up through the rest of the year.
It would be asking a lot, it feels like. You know, and the other thing that always surprises me, because they don't mean the same thing, is if Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch look at each other and say, you know, how are we 6-3? You know, we clearly don't have the talent that we've had, you know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and maybe even last year before all the injuries hurt. You know, why, like, this team isn't those teams, and so let's see what they, like, just because you want to see what this team can do doesn't mean they can't do anything or that they can get to the Super Bowl. It'll probably be somewhere in between. And like, it's not like the front office has given up on this team and now the players are going to be despondent. Like, that to me is not reality. I think the 49ers veteran players are at practice today and they're in no worse frame of mind about the season than they were yesterday.
You think Saleh is? His job just keeps getting tougher and tougher, man.
Yeah, that part we don't know about.
I don't know, and you could be right. Like, maybe he did actually want all these Jets. He was like, dude, give me these guys and I guarantee you I can win you a playoff game. And they're like, hey, Bob, take a seat.
We don't know that dynamic. But I 100% agree with you that Saleh had to be in on the discussions on all the Jets defensive players that were, you know, that were seemingly available.
Felt like it was all of them. The only guy they held on to was Johnson because they couldn't get what they wanted.
And what was he? Is he a free agent at the end of this year?
He is
offhand,
under,
you know?
They picked up his team option for next year, but then after that, he's a free agent. So it would be 1.5 years. Then you'd have to decide whether or not you want to re-sign him or extend him.
Yeah, I guess clearly a second rounder.
Look, people don't want to hear this, but top 3 round picks are valuable. Like, you don't give them up unless you have a pretty good idea of what you're getting. That's what makes the Niners Trey Lance draft day whiff so ridiculous. Like, the Niners gave up for the rights to trade Trey Lance what the Colts just gave up to get Sauce Gardner for the next 5 years. Like, a first-round pick is immensely valuable. And I know that people are always thinking, hey, well, you know, you never know what you're going to get. It's a crapshoot and all the rest. But it's not just the right to draft a good talent. It's the right to potentially have that talent for a low cost for 4+ years.
Yeah. This is also Mike Florio on what the 49ers right now are trying to build and how yesterday may explain some of that.
What the 49ers have tried to do is build something that is sustainable year in and year out. And you don't maintain a sustainable contender if you get too aggressive with giving up your future draft pick. Those future draft picks are nothing. They're nameless, faceless possibilities that never come to fruition if you give them away. You never know who they could have been. And it becomes easier to get caught up in this idea that we got to go all in right now. We got to make a move right now. And I'm not saying you never do it. I'm saying you do it strategically. You do it carefully. And we don't know what the specifics were of the conversations behind the scenes. They're not going to come out and say, hey, we almost traded for this guy. Or we almost traded away that guy. We almost did this. We almost did that. That just breathed life into this what-if scenario. I think that the message is they're happy with what they have. They're willing to go forward. They're willing to keep their draft picks. And let's see how the rest of the season plays out.
I mean, you can agree with it or you can disagree with it, but that's, to me, that is kind of the summation. That's what I believe the 49ers are thinking right now.
Yeah, they're thinking that this year, anything good that happens this season is, it's house money. I don't think they expected to compete. Well, maybe they did because of the schedule. You know, it's, I'm not really sure what the offseason conversations were, but anytime you say goodbye, the amount of contributing veteran players that they did this summer, you cannot go into a year legitimately thinking that you're going to be better than you were. And they won 6 games last year. They've already won 6 games through 9 weeks. They are ahead of schedule. And while yesterday was a chance to add, I believe it was also a signal that maybe internally they believe they're on the right track and they don't want to disrupt that.
Yeah, I think, and by the way, coming up in 5 minutes, we've got Kenny Caraway of D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. Warriors play the Kings tonight, the second game of a back-to-back. They beat the Phoenix Suns last night, and they're going to play tonight definitely without Steph Curry. And we're going to find out about Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. But when we're joined by Kenny, we'll start switching to the Golden State Warriors. The one thing that I also wonder how the 49ers factor in is, are they thinking about what, or how do you go into next season feeling about Bosa, Warner, McCaffrey, and Kittle? And I'm picking out some of their older type players. Like, if we say it's a year-to-year league, then we got to acknowledge that maybe all four of those guys aren't going to be the players they've been. And so where does that leave you if they take a step back?
Well, I don't know if you can do that, but what you can assume is that they won't be available for the entire 17-game season. Like, Bosa tore his ACL, was it week 3 or week 4? Warner, a couple weeks after that, goes down. Warner might be back by the beginning of next season. Bosa, I don't think, will be. You know, you got some other guys that are kind of banged up. Like, Ayuk hopefully can get on the field this year. and then be a full go by the beginning of next by the beginning of next camp. But yeah, Steiny, like you got some questions for some of your big boys, and I also think that too is probably why you want to hold on to your draft picks. I think the Niners realize that they may have made a mistake the last couple of seasons by not identifying or investing in their offensive line. And that's something I think they'll do this summer. They might just be a little late because it takes time to develop. But they spent a majority of their draft capital on defense. Okay, so that defense right. is the unit that they invested in. Maybe not this year, maybe not even next year. But hopefully in a couple of seasons, that defense is going to be rebuilt. It's going to be young. It's going to be fast. And it's going to be what Kyle Shanahan needs to compete. I mean, you're already seeing some of the guys that were drafted a year or two ago contributing now. Looks like Tatum Bethune, while he's not Fred Warner, he could play a little bit.
Right.
D. Winters, you got a couple years ago. Actually, he looks like he might be a good Dre Greenlaw replacement. Like, that to me is the goal of what they're trying to accomplish right now. The last few seasons, they have been on the short side of things. They've been in the short game.
Right.
It's been about Super Bowl or bust. That's not what I'm getting from this front office anymore. And I think that's totally reasonable.
Right. What's wrong with the 49ers going out and surprising the front office and being better than the front office thought they were going to be? I mean, I think that's what's kind of happening right now. The bottom line is the 49ers, with this schedule, we're going to win a bunch of games. But the fact that they beat Seattle and they beat the Rams early in the year, those are the two wins that have essentially put them where they are right now. And you're over the halfway point of the season. So I think they're looking at it. I don't know about house money, but they're just, let's see what this team can do. And I think right now, on balance, this is probably going to end up being a playoff team. Now, the conversation we're going to have, Evan, at some point is if they do make the playoffs at 10-7 and they get waxed, in the first round, we are going to say, see, you know, all these cosmetic wins over bad teams and a couple early season wins over the division rivals, you know, that we expected that to kind of happen, or not the division rivals, but like we expected to win 8-9 games, and we did because of our schedule, but we knew once we played a really good team, we're going to be in trouble, and that may be what happens. But I still say you got to want to get to the playoffs.
Well, yeah, of course. You want to make the playoffs every year. And I mean, you set it up at the beginning of the season. Like, if they find a way to not make the playoffs, they should be disappointed.
Now.
Yes.
But at the beginning of the year.
No, even at the beginning of the year.
No. I disagree with you there. If they would have suffered all these injuries at the beginning of the year and wouldn't be 6-3,
I think. But they didn't have them. They didn't suffer them at the beginning of the year.
No, but what I'm saying is, if right now, for whatever reason, they were 4-5. Do you think that there would be, that the front office would be thinking differently than they are at 6-3? I'm not sure.
Yes, they have the easiest schedule in the last 10 years. If you didn't make the playoffs with this schedule, what are we talking about?
Well, what I'm saying is, if they weren't 6-3 right now, nobody would expect them to make the playoffs with all these injuries.
No. What I'm saying, at the beginning of the year, you should have expected to make the playoffs if you're the San Francisco 49ers.
I would agree with that. All right, let's switch gears here. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Kenny Caraway. He's a host of D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 out of Sacramento. Warriors play the Kings tonight in Sacramento. Kenny, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Steiny, Evan, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Hey. Give me the mood in Sacramento regarding the Kings and the optimism or pessimism level 2 weeks into the year.
The optimism versus pessimism level is like 95% pessimistic. optimistic is not something that you can easily find in the city right now for this Kings team. People are very frustrated with the direction or lack thereof with this Kings team. And a lot of people want the Kings to just sell out everything, tank, bottom out, and do all this other stuff. And I understand that aspect, but they got a couple of contracts on that roster that make it where they can't necessarily do that. I know Zach LaVine's contract is an issue, and a lot of people look at that as potentially the worst contract in the NBA. But I would say they have one that's worse, and that's Domantas Sabonis. Not that he's a bad player, but for $45, $47, $49 million over the next 3 years, I'm not sure who's signing up to take on that contract right now. So it's some frustrating times right now for a lot of Kings fans. I'm not one of them. I think the Kings are actually really talented. Not really talented. Just say talented. I don't want to put the really on there. But they're a talented team. And I think they're going to be around 500, be in that play-in conversation, anywhere between 8 and 10. And that's, you know, that's kind of where they're at. But a lot of people think this is just a terrible, terrible team. And I don't necessarily see it that way.
It's good to talk to you, Casey. And I really enjoy the work you and D'Lo do up there at our sister station in Sacramento. You know, as far as the Kings, I've watched a couple of games, certainly not as closely as you have, but you know, what kind of challenge does Doug Christie have? It's like you got a ton of guys who need the ball. You named a couple of them with LaVine and Sabonis and a lot of guards. You bring in Russ. Like, how difficult of a job is it for Doug Christie right now to try and make stuff happen with a roster that, like you mentioned, and I've heard a lot of people talk about, doesn't really fit?
Yeah, it's a real difficult job for Doug Christie early on. Number one, the roster in general is just kind of mismatched with a lot of guards and not a lot of forwards and centers. But then you add into the fact that they missed a bonus for one game, the first game of the season, so that was difficult. Then Keegan Murray, a week before the season started, he goes down with a broken thumb. He's been out since the last week of training camp and probably will be out for another 2 weeks or so. So that was your one versatile piece as a wing that could defend and could do some different things as one of your best shooters, and he's been gone. So you've just been trying to mismatch a lot of different rotations and a lot of different lineups with Doug Christie, and that has been pretty difficult. And you're already talking about a team that with Keegan Murray was already going to be difficult as a defensive-minded team. But you take Keegan Murray out of the equation, and they struggle on the defensive end. One thing I will say, though, is they've been very competitive. And I mean that as in these guys are getting after it. You know, whether it's DeRozan, LaVine, Westbrook, Malik Monk when he was there, Dennis Schroeder. These guys have not backed down in a lot of these games. They had the frustrating loss to Phoenix on opening night and the frustrating loss when Austin Reeves gave them 51. But they went off on a road trip, on a four-game road trip, had the Thunder, had an opportunity to beat them until the Thunder turned it up in that fourth quarter, had a big comeback win on Saturday against Milwaukee, where they were down as many as, I think, 15 or 17 in that game, were able to come back and win that game. And then they played tough with Denver the other night. Denver is just a better team, so you have to play your A-plus game when you go up against them. And they weren't able to do that. They probably bought maybe their B-minus game, and that wasn't good enough to win that game. But they competed for the most part in every game they played in this year. And when I say that, it's not just the final score. It's the way these guys are playing. They're getting after it. They're trying their best for Doug Christie. But there's another level they're going to reach if they're going to start winning some basketball games.
Kenny Caraway joining us on 95.7 The Game. He's the host of D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 Sacramento. You know what? It seems like the one thing the Kings and the Warriors have in common is that whenever there's a name out there, that there always seems to be interest from either of these teams. And I got to ask you, has there been talk about Ja Morant in Sacramento?
Has there been talk about Ja Morant? Absolutely. There was some rumor swirling over the summer about Ja, and we spent a couple of days talking about, you know, him in Sacramento, and I talked to some of my people on the ground, in the streets, as I like to say, of Memphis, and they said, nah, don't even waste your time. He's not going anywhere.
Don't worry about it. So I kind of deaded that conversation and that thought. And then you've had everything that's gone on in the last week. And I think it's real this time. I do think Memphis is kind of looking to move on from Ja Morant. And while he's a guy that has some concerns, has some red flags, I say this pretty much every day out here on the airways, anybody that's going to be traded in that situation, there's a reason they're going to be traded. So you can find a reason why you shouldn't pursue this guy. But when you're Sacramento, at some point you got to take some chances. And I think that's where I am with Ja Morant. If he is available and the Kings do have some interest, you got to get after it. You got to take a chance. We harken back to about 27, 28 years ago. I know it's a different time. I know when you look back at some of the reasons why this guy had some warts, we kind of roll our eyes like, for real? Like, weed possession is not a big deal. But Chris Webber had some warts when he got traded from Washington to Sacramento, and that wasn't a popular decision. And a lot of the things that people are saying today about Ja Morant, they were saying about Chris Webber when the Kings acquired him, and he was fantastic here in Sacramento, completely gave us one of the glory eras, the only glory era of the Sacramento Kings franchise. So sometimes you got to take that chance, take that risk. I'm for taking that risk for Ja Morant if he's available, but I understand the red flags. But, yeah, I think people are kind of split on this. It feels a little 50-50. There's a lot of people that want nothing to do with Ja Morant, don't believe that he learned his lesson or can learn his lesson. And there's a lot of people like myself who think that he can grow, and his talent, when you talk about what he can be and what his ceiling can't be, that's something that Sacramento has to take an opportunity on if it's presented to him.
Well, I agree with you. I think a change of scenery could absolutely unlock one of the greater talents we've seen in that position in some time. But in regards to tonight, we know there's no Steph, maybe no Jimmy, maybe no Draymond. Heck, I saw LaVine and Sabonis are on the injury report as well. But I got to ask you straight up, Kenny, like, are you buying the Warriors? Are you buying a team that is this old in a West that is this competitive? Like, how do you see Golden State?
I'm not buying them as a championship contender. Actually seeing them on the court for the first couple of weeks of the season, they look good. They look good. And you know, I reserve judgment, you know, on them just a little bit. But I think they're a good team. I think they're a team that could potentially be a third or fourth seed. But I know they beat the Nuggets earlier in the season, but I don't see them being better than Denver, Houston, or Oklahoma City in a series. When you have 30, when you have Steph, when you have Wardell, anything's possible. Literally anything is possible when you have him. He's the ultimate game changer. So I don't want to say they couldn't beat them in any way, shape, or form, but I just don't see it. I think it's a good team that's a little bit short of a championship team. But like I said, I've seen them in these first couple of weeks of the season. They look good. They look good. The way Kuminga is being implemented into the game plan, and he's rewarding the trust that Steve Kerr has given him with high performance. You got guys like Moses Moody playing really well. I love what I'm seeing from him. Jimmy Butler's playing really well. I love what I'm seeing from him. Buddy Hield and Posh, they're doing their thing as well. So they have some pieces that maybe I discounted coming into the season. But I don't see them as a championship. Like, that's a tall task right, for me to say they're going to beat either or both Houston and OKC in a playoff series. I'm not seeing it today, but we'll see how the season plays out.
Hey, and we're joined by Kenny Caraway, coming from Sacramento, host of the D'Lo and KC show, ESPN 1320 in Sacramento. Scott Perry's the new GM there. What's his message, along with BJ Armstrong's, to the fan base? Where do they say to the fans that they are and where they want to end up going?
Well, it's interesting because they haven't said it directly, like at a press conference or anything, but they've been getting the message out in a number of different ways. Essentially, just hold tight. We're looking at 2027 as when we're going to really make a move. They look at 2027 because LaVine's money will be off the books. Potentially, Sabonis' money will be off the books, or at the very least, being expiring. DeMar DeRozan will be gone at that point. Malik Monk will, his money will be off the books. So if they did absolutely nothing for 2 years, they look at 2027 as when they can really reshape this roster to how they want to do it. A lot of people hear that and they think, well, there's absolutely nothing they're going to do in that time span. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think they're going to be very opportunistic with the things that they do with this roster. We saw it with their pursuit of Jonathan Kuminga over the summer. They had a price in mind that they wanted to pay for Jonathan Kuminga, and they weren't going to go over that by any means. And I think that's why they're going to pursue a lot of these guys. If John Morant is available, they'll have a price in mind that they're willing to pay for John Morant, and they're not pressed to go above and beyond that. They had some rumors of Trae Young over the summer, and Scott Perry was just like, no, that's not a guy that I'm interested in. So I think they're going to monitor every situation they can, because that is what Scott Perry does as a general manager and a guy that looks to build franchises. We saw it with what he did in Detroit. We saw it with what he did in New York. He's always going to monitor an opportunity to add to that roster. But I think before you get to the 2027 mark, they're not going to just do anything just for the sake of doing it. They'll stand pat. They'll work the margins. They'll work the draft until they get to that point where they have the financial flexibility to either take on salary or potentially be aggressive in the free agent market. So a lot of people don't like that. Like I said earlier, guys, a lot of people want them to just blow it up right now. They say, let's be the Pelicans. Let's be the Wizards. Let's be – who's the other sorry team right now? Oh, the Brooklyn Nets. Let's be the Nets right now, and let's peel the Band-Aid off. I don't know if I'm – I understand the logic, but I've been saying a number of different times, you can have all the number one picks you want in the world. If you don't make the right decision, it doesn't matter. Look at OKC. A lot of people point towards Chet Holmgren and everything. They got SGA in a trade, and SGA was the 11th pick. Jalen Williams was the 12th pick, I believe. You look at some of the key cogs in that system. Alex Caruso was a second-round guy. Lou Dort was undrafted. Andrew Wiggins is playing. A.J. Mitchell is playing. Hartenstein was a second-round guy. Like, you just got to get the picks right. So I'm focused a little less on where you pick and what you, and more so what you do with the picks when you have them. And that's kind of where I'm looking at with Scott Perry and Doug Christie. What do you do with the opportunities that you have to improve this roster? Do you make the right decisions, or do you just try and do the process and have a first-round pick, or excuse me, a number one pick or a top five pick for 5-6 years and get no further than the second round through all that?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm right there with you. And look, I know KC Goo was looking forward to talking to you today. Unfortunately, had some family stuff come down, so he sends his best. But Guru also told me that he said you're a Niners fan, right?
Oh, 100%. 100% Niner gang all day.
Okay, so who should start this weekend against the Rams, Brock Purdy or Mac Jones?
Well, okay. If he's healthy... If he's healthy, there's no question. I listen to 95.7 The Game. I listen to my man Steiny. I listen to my man Goo. I listen to the Morning Road. I hear the callers all the time talking about Mac Jones and all this. Let's not get it twisted. I like Mac Jones. He's a lot better than I gave him credit for. He's tougher than a $2 steak. I rock with Mac Jones. Don't get it twisted. But also don't get it twisted. There is no quarterback controversy. Brock Purdy's better than Mac Jones. And when Brock Purdy is healthy, he is undoubtedly your number one quarterback.
Thank
He's
you.
Your starter.
Thank
it's
you.
just the bottom line with that situation. Now, the caveat is if he's not healthy, maybe you try to continue to buy weeks on Brock Purdy's injury. If he's feeling like, I'm feeling better, but I'm about 80%, maybe you go with Mac Jones in that case. But once again, it's all based on the injury. It's not based on performance or talent level. Brock Purdy is QB1. He is the captain, El Capitan, on that offense, along with Trent Williams and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. And when he's ready to go, yeah, Mac Jones, who I like. Once again, I want to say that again. I like Mac Jones. I've been impressed with what he's done. But get to the back of the bus, hold the clipboard, QB1 is back.
Hey, Sabonis and LaVine, what do you think tonight, real quick?
I think they'll both play. Sabonis is a warrior. He gets after it. They're out here, I'm a little critical of his game because I feel like he's regressed in the last few years on the offensive end, and the defense has been very, very suspect. But one thing I will never take from Domantas Sabonis is the guy is a gamer. He's a warrior. If he can go, he will be out there. I know he got hit in the sternum or the ribs in that game the other day against Jokic, and it bothered him, and he played through it the whole time. I think he'll go. I think Zach LaVine will go, too. I think they'll play. Zach has been dealing with a little bit of a lower back issue, but I think these guys will play. Like I said, we'll see how long it lasts, but they respond to Doug Christie as best they can. You know, I'm not going to ask these guys to be Gary Payton, the senior, and turn into the glove on the defensive end, because that's not who they've been. But they played on.
We lost you. Kenny, listen, man, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. And have a great show today, and enjoy the game tonight up in Sacramento. Warriors at Sacramento. We'll see who ends up being in the lineup and who doesn't.
Yeah, the only guy we know who's out for sure is Steph Curry. And
you don't think Butler's...
I still think this is a game they can get, but I think that's more about the Kings than it is about the Warriors.
See, this is the first thing I'm interested in tonight. All right, Curry's out. We know that.
Yep.
Butler came out of last night's game with a back issue and didn't return. I'm going to assume that he's going to be kind of a long shot tonight.
I think he was a long shot to play last night, which is why when he did play, it was a bit surprising. Kurt talked about a pregame. Jimmy was warming up on the practice court. He was basically a game-time decision. And I think they knew they had to get one of these games. And Jimmy decided with Al playing tomorrow, or tonight, I guess, in Sacramento, he was going to try and give it a go. But it sounded like he wasn't going to play both of those games regardless of his back.
So you don't think he'll play tonight, is your hunch?
I don't think he's going to play.
And then that always leads me to, are you telling me Draymond Green's going to play tonight? If Curry and Butler aren't playing? And why would you bring Horford back tonight if Draymond says, I'm out too?
Well, we can see the Warriors' first double big lineup with Post and Horford.
Yeah,
might be their best shooters. No, I mean, like, this is where I do think that all must answer to Celebrini. All must answer to Rick when he says you can't play, you can't play. And by the way, like, it's actually pretty impressive. If Curry was indeed sick during that road trip, and obviously last night, because he sounded very nasally. I don't know if you have sound there, but you can just tell. Like, he walked to the podium, was coughing away from the mic, was trying to like, he didn't want to get people sick. There was a person that he was talking to before he even came into the press conference area, and he said, I don't want to get too close to you because I'm sick. And he just sounded like a dude that should not have been on the floor last night, and he still had 28 points.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see who plays tonight. But here's the other thing as it relates to the Warriors, and you know, they're 4-1 start, and they looked really good, and this team can go to the Western Conference Finals, and they might be able to compete. There just seems to be a lack of I don't want to say that. That's too harsh. Do you guys realize how long the season is? And here we are, 8 games into the year, and I think Curry wouldn't have played tonight anyway. I know that Steve Kerr said he was sick on the trip, but he said he's just exhausted. All right, you're sick, but Butler, you know, Butler may not play tonight. This thing can't be tabled. The Warriors' age can't be tabled. They have to deal with it, and if they have to go up to Sacramento tonight without Steph and without Butler, they got to find a way to win the game, because they're going to have to get used to playing these kind of games more frequently than other teams when they don't have their most important players there. So, like, that challenge is never going to go away. It'll subside when the three guys are healthy and playing. But there's just – when's their next game after this? You know, who knows who's going to play that game? So – you know, to my way of thinking, yeah, it's starting already with, you know, mitigating the age. And tonight is a game where if you had all your guys, you could reasonably expect to win it, but you're not going to. So do you stub your toe against the Sacramento team that at full strength you normally would beat? Because that's not a recipe to get to 50 wins.
Well, you think you would beat.
Right, yeah.
You also thought you would beat an 0-5 Pacers team, and you didn't. You think you thought you might beat a Portland team, and you didn't.
Right.
You thought you would lose maybe to the Denver Nuggets, but you didn't. Like, I just think, Sonny, yes, it is about age and it is about the Warriors, but I also think we have to look at this as this is the NBA. It just is. News came down a couple minutes ago that Walker Kessler is out for the season because he tore his labrum last night for the Jazz. Like, injuries happen to every single team, no matter how old or young you are. And I think because of how fast the game is played and how much stress is on these athletes' bodies, guys are going to sit. Like, Steven Adams, who's an older player, he's questionable for the Rockets tonight. You heard LaVine and Sabonis. KC thinks they're going to go, but we don't know if they're going to play. The Miami Heat have been dealing with injuries. Norman Powell's already missed a few games for them, and that's a team that's really deep. Like, every single team is going to deal with these situations. The question is, for the Warriors, how good is your bench and the guys that have to step in to play for those players on these kinds of nights? And that's where last night, like, the fact that Moses Moody gave you 24 off the bench, that's important, because if Moses Moody had an off night last night, you might not win that game.
Right. I'm going to clarify this. I'm not saying that's, you know, with Steph and Draymond, you win that. Your Butler, you win the game tonight, and now they don't play, so you might lose. That's not what I mean. Clearly, on balance, you'd have a better chance to win with your guys. Here's my big point is, this season, we're going to have to memorize, or we're going to have to know what the record is of the Warriors when certain guys don't play. And so if Steph Curry's going to miss 15 games, then it's very important that their record during those 15 games, it can't be 4-11. You know what I mean? It's got to be 8-7. Can they get to 7-8? Something like that. What are they without Butler? You know, if fully healthy, they're a 50-win team. If they're missing a guy, can they be a 500 team while that particular guy is missing? That'll help get you to 50. But like, they can't, while I absolutely don't count going up to Sacramento with a full team as an automatic win, I also feel like the game tonight without some players are the games that you're going to have to win a fair share of if you want to have a good season. Good season.
Well, I would say those were the games they couldn't win last year, and then they got Jimmy, and they still won 48 games. Like, with Jimmy, Steph, and Draymond last year, they won, 70 to 80% of their games?
Let's just say they were 23-8, because I think that's the, or 27-8, something like that.
I think it was like 23-7, okay. But still.
Yeah.
The point is, this year, these kinds of games tonight, you have to think that they can win. Like, I'm not saying they will, but last year when Curry missed a game, it was largely, well, we got no shot tonight. You know, even last year when Jimmy had to miss some time, I don't really think we got a great shot to win tonight. I actually think the game changed when Jimmy went out last night. Phoenix started to make their run when Butler wasn't on the floor, and they got a little lackadaisical, and they did enough to win, and that was important. But this year, the steps or the development of the younger players, of the Moody's, of the Kamingas, of the Bajemskis, of the posts, you could throw Trayce Jackson-Davis in there, who played well in the first half last night. Are those guys going to be good enough on nights like tonight to win you a game? Are they? Because in recent years, I don't think you could say that. I don't think you could look at them and say, yeah, we can go win that game tonight, but you're playing the Kings. I'm going to be honest. I still think even without Steph, Curry, Draymond, and Butler, like, you can still win tonight.
They can, but it's going to be harder.
Well, what if Steph is, like, if Steph played tonight and was going through it, he might actually sink you on a night like tonight because he's sick. You can make a case he lost in the game against Indiana. If he didn't play that game, maybe they win that game.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors at Kings tonight. Steph Curry definitely out, and I don't know, it doesn't look good for Butler. But you guys, you're the Warrior fans. We all knew what we were getting into this year. No big deal going up to Sacramento without some of our key guys. Or, nope, this is what we were all worried about. And this is the problem they're going to have. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're also going to get into something Draymond Green said, and he might have gone too far. Warriors Wednesday is brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Now back to Steiny and Guru. Take it away, Steiny.
All right, get well soon, Steph. Probably won't even make the trip up there, I wouldn't think. For who, for what? Steph Curry won't be playing tonight when the Warriors...
This is a good teammate, damn it.
Well, if he were a good teammate, he would have stayed away from the arena last night, because you watch, we're going to have all of a sudden the flu bug going around.
Don't win without him.
We'll see.
Do you think it's what Jimmy really has? He's sick?
I do, but...
this is Curry. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'll be all right, though.
Good, good.
Day to hopefully kick it to the curb and get back to full strength. But it's good enough to get through the night, but it's getting worse, so I don't want to stay too close or far away from y'all.
That's the quickest post-game presser I've seen him do. He answered three questions quick and was just... But, then he got out of there.
By the way, we haven't made much out of it, but Steph Curry has really ingratiated himself to the media this year in a big way.
Oh, it's huge.
It's I cannot tell you. If you start detecting overly positive coverage of Steph Curry, it's not because of his play. He's coming to the podium immediately after games now. So there's a 10-minute cooling off period, provided you need it. Doesn't mean you can't open the locker room doors earlier than 10 minutes, but it's got to be open at 10 minutes. He goes right to the podium. He does 5 minutes, and every media member in the country, well, every media member in the building is just ecstatic, because Steph used to play, work out, lift, sauna, steam, massage. I'll do media now, an hour or so after the game. So there you go. Steph Curry being a team player with the media. You got to love it.
Well, I always wondered why he would want to go last. Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't usually stars just get media out of the way? They go to the podium quickly. Maybe it's just because a lot of the guys on the road are, you know, like the Bookers of last night, they'll go to the podium, they'll go right after the head coach, and then they'll just do whatever they got to do and get out of there.
I mean, it was kind of early in Curry's career, I think, when I was kind of blown away to find out how many guys work out after games. They, you know, a lot of guys will wait to lift until after the game. And a lot, you know, obviously there's getting to the trainer's room and all that stuff. And one of the reasons Curry's so great at 37, I'm sure, has something to do with how great he is at recovering after a game, which is him doing his routine. So
well, it's not like the 80s where you just, hey, you know, grab a six-pack and be on your way.
No.
Guys take care of themselves now, Steiny.
Yeah, and interestingly, they'd play full seasons back then. You just don't. It's just very, very strange.
They're a lot slower. No, but I have a theory, and that is we're going to get a little more of a spicy Steph this year.
Mm.
And it's because he doesn't have a cool-down period. When you go straight from the floor to the podium, you're generally in more of the state of mind you were when you're playing. So whether Steph was riding high or maybe he was low and frustrated, I think we're going to see a little more of that this year. Now, it also might mean that he's not as reflective.
Right.
And he's not as thoughtful. And he might be giving you more generic quotes. But I think that as far as emotion goes, that's something I'm going to be paying attention to this year.
Here's the other thing. If he goes first, it ensures that he will not be at the podium for longer than 6-8 minutes. But when
he does long pressers.
Even right after?
Well, not last night because he was sick.
Right.
Yeah, the first couple.
But I mean,
like
sometimes
Moses Moody's sitting there waiting to do his press conference. Steph won't get the hell out of there.
Well, he didn't want to go right after him either because the germs were all over the mic and stuff. But I'm talking about, you know, sometimes when he would come out late, an hour, you know, 45 minutes after a game, that's when he would sit there for 12, 15 minutes and be kind of reflective. So I agree with you. I think it's going to be a little bit different, but
prove it game tonight.
Oh, I know what I, oh gosh.
Prove it game.
For the Warriors?
Yeah. Well, the young guys.
This is the first game they're playing without Steph, right?
It's a prove it game. Yeah. If you can't beat Sac, well then are you supposed to beat these other teams when you're underhanded?
We can't do that though.
Yeah.
We can't
Why
do
not?
That. It's you know what? It's about the there here's what I think it's
Moses,
about.
Moses, we need 25 from you tonight. Pods, can we please not throw the ball into the stanchion tonight? Kuminga, can you go out and get 20 and 10? Horford, can you play 28 minutes?
Hope. Okay.
Prove it game.
All right. Here's the bottom line for all you needing a little help with this one. Tonight's game is the most important game of the season up until this point. And the reason is it's the first game they're going to be playing without one or more of their big guys. So tonight's game will represent their first game without Steph, maybe without Jimmy, maybe without both, maybe without the big three. And so now I'm going to use it. We've got two standings. We've got the Warriors at 5-3, but after tonight, they're going to be either 0-1 or 1-0 in games without their veterans. And we know they're going to play a lot of games without their veterans this year.
You know why they should win tonight?
Why?
Because this is the game they lose.
Please explain.
Giannis doesn't play. They lose. Halliburton not playing for the Pacers. They lose. This is the game they should win because if they were the Kings and were at full strength, they'd lose. How about that? No, you don't like that one?
Not when you're not playing without your guy.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well,
okay, then how do the Lakers go into Portland and beat the Blazers with no Luka, no LeBron, and no Reeves?
Evan, it's a make-or-miss league.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Mark Jackson. Hey, I'm just saying, there's been a lot of teams around the league that have won without their stars. Why can't the Warriors be one of them?
Well, I mean, yeah, they could win tonight, and then they're 1-0. But how are they going to be in the rest of the 18 games where 25 games where they're missing a guy?
They're playing the Spurs. They're playing the Kings.
Well, and this is what I mean. Like, if you can't beat the Spurs without your guys,
you mean the Kings?
I mean the Kings without their guys, then we may be looking at a real big problem when they're not healthy. How about that?
Well, but you can't do that. Because you can't look too far ahead. You got to take each game for what it is. That's me doing you.
The bottom line is they're going to have to win a chunk of games without one or more guys. And this is the first test for that tonight in Sacramento. By the way.
I mean, would I be shocked if they lose tonight if all three of those guys don't play? No.
Right.
But I am absolutely not counting them out. Like, I think they can.
Of course not.
I think those young guys can go up to Sacramento and win this game tonight.
That I agree with. You know, I usually like to do that. I'm going to do it. Oh, we got to get out here.
Yeah, short segment.
Hey, you know what? I do this with everybody, like Jimmy Bucket, all that kind of stuff.
Post?
You know what I was thinking about today?
Wait. Is he on the Warriors?
No, he's not on the Warriors.
What team's he on?
He's not on a team.
DeBonsa?
Close. He had a great game last night. No, I'm going to do it. Mom Donnie! All right, that segment brought to you by Moderna. Hey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.